the next speaker, Mike Fewson and others. Mike. I'll let you introduce yourself again.
You can tell a really professional preacher, they have at least four conclusions. I'm glad I didn't set my roast for the first conclusion. Always for the fourth one. How do you follow that? I mean, that is, it's inspirational. And you know, the way that we interact, what I love about this is the different types of people that are speaking. There are those that share from their heart, that draw you in and make you feel a part of the big picture, what's happening. But there are those that will inspire you to get out and do something different. And that's what, we need all of that, not just one or the other, but the whole thing, isn't it? It's about being inclusive. For me, probably the word about God that has probably transformed my thinking is generational. As a young man, I was going to change the world. I was the man of power for the hour. I was the one that had never been before. I don't know if any of Reed, Calvin and Hobbes. It's a little cartoon. I love this kid. He's saying to Hobbes, which is his pet tiger, a stuffed tiger, and he says, you know, he says, I've realized that all of history has been preparation for my birth. He says, this is what life is about. Now I'm here. And Hobbes says, so what are you going to do with that life? He says, let's go read some comic books. I want to talk about where we've come to in a journey. I say we. I've pastored, I've planted churches, I've been an evangelist, been all of these things. I was sharing with Pascal the other day, we were in our shed doing some woodwork, and I said, you know, the best way to learn this sort of stuff is to be around a craftsman, someone who knows their trade. And he said, well, I've got you. I said, no, I'm called Jack. I do lots of things, I just don't do them very well. And but that's what life is about, isn't it? It's about learning and growing and bringing all that shared knowledge. My goal, my aim in life is not to accomplish something. I'm not wanting to go out saying, I've built an empire. What I want to do is I want to participate with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I want to be a part of his history and a part of his story. So I'm no longer wanting to build my business, my empire, my world. What I do is I find people that God is leading and directing. I work with them to build their future. Because I'm going to live another 100 years. But not physically, I'm going to live it through other people as I help them prepare their foundation. Specifically, I want to share about business from my perspective, kingdom business, and from the, I guess as I've titled this, kingdom business as a legitimate marketplace member and a legitimate base of contact and interaction with the world. We've already seen the foundation. What is the marketplace? Well, the marketplace is where people gathered, they would speak, trade merchandise, goods, they would exchange thoughts and ideas. I see, particularly in a church setting, three different business, I guess, models. And I'm not here to say anyone is right or wrong. There is the Christian businessman. They are businessmen whose life has been transformed by Jesus, and they have business and they are learning what it means to live the kingdom as Christian businessmen. There are churches that start businesses and they run businesses, whether it be a church coffee shop, whether it be, I can't even think, so I won't go there. But whatever it might be, there, you know, churches try to set up business for various reasons. Often the church's idea is for business is either for money or for witnessing. The third one, or certainly where we've been led to, is what I call kingdom business. Kingdom business is a little bit different from, and as I say, these are just my terms, all right? So if you have a different understanding, we'll change the name. It's really hard when you deal with language because we all have different meanings in the words. So I'm just using these terms that I've made up and I'm giving you my meanings. And if they offend your meaning of the terms, then let's pick different terms. A kingdom business, it's not set up as an outreach. You know, we have a coffee shop in the city called Cafe 54. I get a lot of people say to me, your church has a coffee shop outreach. No, our church does not have a coffee shop outreach. My children own and run a business. It's a cafe. We sell coffee, we sell food, that's what we do. It's not an outreach. It's not a church-owned revenue base that is hiding behind a tax exemption. And I want to make that very clear. You know, I don't think that the church has a right to hide behind its tax exemption in business. You know, I've heard people say God expects us to be... God wants us all to be rich and wealthy so that the businessmen will look at us and say, look, they're successful. No, the businessmen will only be impressed with successful businessmen. They won't be impressed with people who use an unfair advantage in competition. And I don't believe that the church should use a tax-exempt status in competition for business, but that's not what this is about. John said, don't preach. I said, I don't preach, but I do, don't I, John? Kingdom businesses are businesses first. They operate on sound business principles. They're owned by kingdom-minded people whose purpose is to glorify God. I love that prayer. I love that prayer. Let my words glorify you. And those that hear it, let them glorify you. Because that's the point. That we would glorify God. Owned by kingdom-minded people whose purpose is to glorify God. And it's a resource for the kingdom of which the church is a part. Kingdom businesses and the family of God. No one claims his business is his own as a resource to benefit the family of God. We've taken Acts 4:32-35 to we've incorporated it our own way. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions were his own, but they shared everything they had with great power. The apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them, for from time to time those who owned lands and houses sold them, brought the money from the sale, put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to everyone as they had need. That's how they lived in Acts. We can't copy that. That's a particular culture, a particular generation or lifestyle, but the principles are the same. We have, I keep talking about we. Who are we? For all intents and purposes, we are a church. But we are not simply a legal entity, which is what church usually is. We are first and foremost a community. We do not exist because of shared meetings. We exist because of shared life. And we can change meetings and it makes no difference. You see, a legal entity can't change a meeting because they will lose people. But if you have a shared life, you can change anything. You can change anything. My family does not cease to be simply because my house falls down. Simply because we stop having dinner at 7 o'clock, we're now going to have it at 10 o'clock. My family is still my family. And if those things change, nothing changes. And so as a community, we have shared life, not shared meetings. And of course, that's flowed over. This is a journey we've pursued for 10 years. And that's now flowed over into business. So what's happened is, in the last 2 years, we've gone from being a community with shared life to a people with who worked at different jobs and places. Now we have, as I said, our family owns a cafe. Wayne owns a daycare center. My son-in-law has a web business. We've got Arno's got a physio practice. He hurts people with his hands. And all of those things. This is who we are. This is what we do. And we've developed all. We've gone into all of these businesses. And this is my lovely wife. She does water. Anyway, so that's what I'm talking about when I talk about us, and I'm talking about this is what we've become. And what's happened is businesses having, we've gone into business for a number of reasons. Number one is it releases us from bondage to society. You see, I'll let my son share his testimony in just a moment. That's kingdom business and the family of God. We're in business. We have businesses for two reasons. Number one is, in the marketplace, we interact with the world on an equal footing. They see us as legitimate members in the marketplace. We're not using tax-exempt statuses or anything like that. It's a business, and we have a rapport on that level. Secondly, it's a resource for employment. We employ, firstly, the house of God. It's not, firstly, an outreach. Our businesses have, firstly, Christians working in it. The purpose is that we establish. You can go to 100 cafes that are not run by Christians. But you come to our cafe, it's run by Christians, to the extent that we can. You know, the daycare center, you need professional people. So it's a place of employment. It's a place of discipleship, which is what Pascal will share his testimony. It's a place of financial resource, all of those three. And you can extrapolate those to how they fit into the church and the kingdom. As far as the kingdom business and kingdom living, 1 Thessalonians 4:11 and 12 says, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business and to work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders and so that you'll not be dependent on anyone. How do we do this? How do you win respect? Through daily life. Through working. Beside the world in the marketplace. So in the marketplace, we trade. That's what the marketplace is about. See, that is where church exists. Said, if church is shared life, not shared meetings, then church happens in the marketplace. I want Dale to come up and just share his story. And secondly, with winning respect, is not to be dependent. The next step is not to be dependent on anyone else. That is living wherever possible as free men. You see, and we use the cafe mostly for an example because that's where we spend most of our time. Well, they do. I sit at home on the telephone telling them how to work. It's my job. But if you go, I mean, we have solicitors. We have the DPP come, Department of Public Prosecution. All these guys come by coffee. We have the defense lawyers by coffee. We have the professors from the hospital. We have the top heart specialists come in. We have Western Power and all these people, all these that come in. These are men and women that are power holders. They have authority. When they come into our cafe, they are stripped of all of that. They're just a customer. If you go into their environment, if you work for them, then they're the boss. When they come into the cafe, there are a couple of 22-year-olds here. 22? Three. See, I don't even know. 21. See, we don't have 22, sorry. But the thing is that Dale is able to interact with them on an equal footing because they are no longer in their place of power. If he worked for them, how does a 23-year-old engage them in that way? But he's free to engage the marketplace in the marketplace as an equal. And that's what kingdom business for us is about. I said, just try to throw in a very quick time. Quickly. And Pascal, you come up.
Basically, just talking about winning respect to witness, we've established in the specialty coffee industry, not the cafe industry where you've got your Domes, your Gloria Jeans, and the general cafe. We've, in the, I guess, a smaller niche market of specialty coffee, we've developed a top cafe with the dedication to bring out a top product to every customer that walks in. And with that, we've won respect in the industry as a top, as a leading coffee house. And with that respect gives an opportunity, as Dad was saying before, you know, being free from the oppression of organisation, being a young man in an office, no one listens to you. You're the one that gets told to do the photocopying. But here, you're on equal ground, and we've shown people that we've given the respect. They've got respect for us because they know what we offer, what we deliver. And because of that has brought about opportunity for us to be able to witness to, like in particular, there's a couple we now friends with. He's a service technician that comes and does maintenance at the cafe, and his girlfriend is a barista. She works in the industry. She lost her job. And it's brought out opportunity for us to be able to witness to them, show the love of God to them, and really show who we are. And that's because we've won the respect of them, and they see us, and they can see Christ coming out of us.
I'm the pastor of Living Way Christian Church, and I'm also a barista at Cafe 54. Probably for the last 2 years as we started this journey, these guys asked me to come and do a training course with them. The main reason why I did it initially is because I love these guys. And they were doing it, and I wanted to help out in whatever way I can, and the main thing I was qualified to do was push a broom around. So they said to me, well, look, come and do this course. So I went along and we got the training. And so at the time I thought, well, it's just going to be about going in and doing a bit of coffee once in a while. But as you well know, God often has much bigger ideas than what you do, and he's thinking way ahead. And what's actually happened is that my work at Living Way began to change. I found that as we began these businesses, I'd be getting phone calls about issues going on at work, things that's happening, and the Spirit of God would lead me to then begin to disciple some of these guys working there. I have a real passion for discipleship in the church and a passion to see the Great Commission not be just about evangelism or just about discipleship, but it being both. Half the time you have pastors blaming evangelists and evangelists blaming pastors, and there isn't really an understanding that these things work together and we're meant to be the family of God. And being the pastor at Living Way, what we've been able to do with this cafe is that, one, like Dad said, it's become a financial resource. We've been able to use the money to help even the people in the church and outside. We've got widows in the church that are being taken care of because of what we've been able to do. But going on from there, with that, when every issue would come up in the cafe, I was able to teach them about the unity of the Spirit. I was able to teach them about perseverance, about working for the kingdom, not just for money. Understanding that Jesus is king over what we're doing at Cafe 54. So discipleship became a really important thing of what we were doing. But then, as things happened and I was there more and more often, I found that I was doing evangelism. You're standing there at a coffee machine making coffee and you've got, you know, like Dad says, solicitors and all these guys just chatting to you. You're just a guy. And they don't know that I'm a pastor. And when they do find out, their understanding of Christianity changes. And because of that, we're able to pull down strongholds in their minds, help them to understand what the Lordship of Jesus is. And before you know it, I'm at home one afternoon. I get a phone call from this lady that I spoke to 3 weeks ago who was really guarded, but I just told her who we are as Christians. And 3 weeks ago, she's ringing me saying, I want to know more. And we're finding more and more of these examples of evangelism happening while people within the cafe are growing and discipleship's happening. For us, that's what kingdom business has become.
I took all your time.
Thank you. Thank you. That's really great stories. We have to move on.